Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
The Bears.
We'll go next to Chris Emma from 670 The Score. Go ahead, Chris.
Chris Emma.
I will fight Chris Emma. Name the time, name the place. I'll be there, Chris Emma.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
Covering the Bears quite a bit, as he always does, and we're always happy to have him aboard. Chris Emma.
Yeah, we got you, Chris. Chris, you look like you're working that technology about like I did.
Lead Bears writer for 670thescore.com.
We have time for one more, Chris Emma. This will be the last one.
Well, Coach, just say the word, and I'll get my technique fine-tuned and ready for your offensive line.
Chris Emma with Spiegel and Holmes.
I like it.
On 670 The Score.
We like it, too. Chris Emma is going to join us just momentarily. We wanted to take this opportunity, since it is 5 o'clock somewhere, you know, here, we wanted to give you an opportunity to win passes to our show next Thursday. We're going to be broadcasting Thursday, September 4th from 2 until 6 at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. It's our football season kickoff show. Dave Wannstedt's going to be there. And he said that Troy Aikman's going to call into the show.
Ooh.
Olin Krutz is going to be in studio. Looking forward to seeing my guy. Oh, he'll be with us. That's next Thursday. It's all brought to you by PNC Bank, your local Ford dealers, and Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. Through it all, be callers 4, 5, and 6 to 312-540-0670 right now, and you're going to win a pair of passes. You get a chance to see our awesome Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Studio. It's really an amazing place to watch the show from, and we're going to have it for you next Thursday. It's going to be a ton of fun. All right, Emma, dazzle us. What do we need to know about what happened today up at Hallis Hall?
Boys, what's up? Yeah, busy day here at Hallis Hall with the roster cut down to the 53-man limit and forming its initial form here. So you can start looking ahead to week one with some clarity on how this team is going to take shape. And we got to hear from Ryan Poles, the general manager, ahead of his fourth season leading this team. Let's get right to it, because Ryan Poles covered a lot. What you're going to hear next is my splice down of what I thought was most important and most relevant from Ryan Poles. Here's Ryan Poles.
In terms of training camp, I thought Coach did a great job setting up training camp in terms of increasing the competition, the physicality. Felt like you could start seeing our identity take shape, even though we know that will really solidify itself as we get into the regular season. I thought it was very competitive on the roster. It made the cut-down process difficult. I give a lot of credit to the players that worked extremely hard, but also our coaching staff. The staff did a wonderful job developing some players, putting them really ahead of the developmental curve, and in place to compete for starting positions, backup roles, and making the 53, which is always a good thing. We'll always continue to monitor the league in terms of calls with trades, waiver claims, to see if is there any way to help our football team get better.
And with Jalen, what's the timeline for getting him back fully mixed in practice-wise?
Yeah, we're taking that really day-to-day. When I was going out to practice, he was running and doing agility work, so I feel like he's getting better. When you're going from not playing – and just training to football, there's all kinds of different things that kind of change timelines. So we're hopeful that he continues to get better. But we also have to be smart to make sure he's good long term as well. So we'll just take that day by day and really work through our medical staff to make sure we're doing right by Jalen.
Is there real optimism he can be ready week one? I know he's on the active roster, but is that's realistic at this point?
Yeah, we're pushing for it. But again, it's that fine line of making sure that we're smart with him.
What's the concern about him having different injuries? Not even what he's been dealing with, but just the fact he hasn't been playing football and he go out there Monday night.
Yeah.
He's just not calibrated or ready or whatever.
Yeah, that's real. And that's what we're evaluating right now. We have a little bit of time before we get there to start the game week. So all of those things are part of the discussion.
These five position groups that came into this process, maybe having some questions about that actually turned out to be a little bit better than you thought, like the O-line.
Yeah, I would say receiver. We put a lot in the receiver room, but just the way Zacchaeus has played has been outstanding. Luther has taken huge steps, and like he's just starting. Jade. And that's what I say. When I think of Jade and I think of Theo's, like where they walked into where they are today, I mean, the discussion was developmental, and then they kind of put themselves a little bit ahead of that curve. So that receiver group, which made letting Tyler Scott go today difficult, but we have to stay true to competition and true to talent, not where guys are drafted. So I'm proud of that, proud of our group and the development for him. He earned it. I would say linebacker is the other one. Noah Sewell has made huge strides to come in and compete for that starting Sam position. Got himself in shape, got right. Choppy start in his career, which shows you, like, some of these guys, it's going to take a few years. This pro game is no joke, and you got to get yourself right to compete. Hippolyte's been flying around and is pressed to be one of the top guys in that room too. So that's another one that was ahead of what I thought it was going to be.
Okay, Emma, out of all the big picture items that Ryan Poles talked about, what was the most interesting one to you?
Well, the status of Jalen Johnson obviously is unclear as you look toward week one, and they were pretty honest with it. Like, this is something where they need to evaluate where he is in the coming days and as he get into next week. And the depth in the secondary has been tested. Nashawn Wright is looking like he could be a starter against the Vikings and against a deep offense there. I know they're a little limited receiver right now, but you could have Nashawn Wright, a guy who was let go by the Vikings, lining up against Justin Jefferson at times during that game, or Tyreek Stevenson is your number one outside corner. It is a situation worth monitoring as we get into next week. He's close, but they're wondering if he's game ready, and there's a lot more to test out because Ryan Poles said this is a significant injury, but it's also one that kind of worked in theory on the timeline right up against week one. So that is absolutely going to be a key part of next week as we look toward and kick off on Monday night.
Because of how unclear the information has been about Jalen Johnson's injury, and then, you know, conjecture and guesswork sort of, you know, gets into the fold with it. And there have been some folks kind of wondering, is this a contract ploy? But that hasn't been my read on it up to this point. You're there and you're close to it on a pretty consistent basis. Do you get the sense that any of that could be a part of this?
I don't know. And Ryan Poles later on, which I did not include in the cut, but he kind of went out of his way to say, look, this is an injury. He's heard the noise. He understands what people are suggesting as it relates to Jalen Johnson's status. It's not contract related. I've never heard anything that would indicate that from either side. And Poles was kind of upfront about the idea that this is an injury. It was a setback that occurred in his own training right before they reported for camp. And unfortunate setback, but it's the life of the NFL.
Emma, let's talk quarterback here. What are we hearing about how they feel about the development of Caleb Williams?
Well, we got to see throughout camp the way that he was being tested, and you could see the way that the learning curve was taking place. Those early practices and first weeks of camp where Caleb Williams was struggling a lot. Like, you could see it each day. And he was being overwhelmed, a term to use, in terms of what Ben Johnson was doing to him and putting out the entire inventory of this offense right before him and seeing how he can handle it. The basic concept was let him deal with the challenges now so he's prepared and ready to go later. So I asked Ryan Poles, what's your evaluation of Caleb Williams to this point? Here's Ryan Poles.
Yeah, I think, there were some up and down moments, which was expected when a new system is coming in, and it's not easy. There's no wristbands. There's some foundational work that he had to work through as well. So there's some growing pains that happen. But I know when I put the whole timeline together, start from when he walked on campus from last year to this year, there's been a ton of growth there. And I know as we get into the game weeks and dial in, that speed of play and being efficient should increase as we go. But I know they loaded him up and they were really hard on him, which is going to be great for his development. And I know he'd rather go through that tough time in order to have success later. So I think we'll build off of this and it'll be good.
Okay. And there's a lot to learn from what we saw last week and things that are added to all of this stuff too. And look, you guys are watching practice every day, Emma. You're watching the mistakes, and Big Ant and I were just talking about how we wonder if things will get easier, because once you get into the regular season, it's not the entire playbook. It's a specific game plan.
Yeah, and you saw that in that Sunday night game against the Bills at Soldier Field when you are just working with that game plan. He was prepared to go out there and run with the ones, and the offense is condensed. It's not the full gamut of what Ben Johnson wants to run, but he was ready to go with what they were presenting to him, and you saw the comfort. The most easy way to describe it is you're able to work with clarity in terms of your reads and your progressions and what you need to do each time you get that snap, versus when you are working in practice and you've got this play and then a totally different play coming out and you're throwing these unique concepts out, you're hesitant. And you could see that. He was just not comfortable getting the ball out on time and in rhythm the way he's supposed to be, and it's how it's supposed to look. That was natural. And obviously there were concerns in late July, early August, as you're seeing those struggles each day in practice. But the coaching staff all along kept saying, like, this is our plan. This is what we're doing. And you've seen a little bit of the payoff. I know it was choppy on Friday night in Kansas City, but you've seen more good days than bad from Caleb Williams here the last couple weeks. And he's stacked good practices with a good preseason showing. Even at the end of his run on Friday at Arrowhead Stadium, you saw a final drive, that fourth drive for him, where he looked more comfortable. He looked confident, and you could see the guy you wanted to see out there. So, look, this is the honeymoon period for Ben Johnson, and you want to take everything they say at their word and give them the benefit of the doubt until it's not earned. And when Ben Johnson and his coaching staff have talked about the development plan for Caleb Williams, you trust them, because Ben Johnson's done it before, and this is why you coveted him as head coach. And the progress that you've seen of Caleb Williams is notable because it underscores what Ben Johnson saw all along.
Emma, are you surprised that the left tackle spot has not been solidified yet?
So that was a curious one. I mentioned it to you guys yesterday on the show, saying that I think you're going to get an announcement of Braxton Jones as your left tackle. And we'll get right to it. Here's the first question for Ben Johnson. You're going to hear Ryan Poles after that. Is Braxton Jones the last left tackle?
Is Braxton Jones your starter week one at left tackle?
I'm not ready to talk about starters yet.
And you said all along with the left tackle spot that you want to see somebody stand out and earn that. Do you feel like that was the case?
I think we're going to have a starter week one, and we'll go from there. So that's I said it a few weeks ago, and we feel good about the guys we have in that room. Someone's going to take the bull by the horns and is going to completely take over, but we're not afraid to make a change if the performance isn't where it needs to be. So we'll make that decision going into next week. I'm sure you guys will have a good idea who our starters will be going into Minnesota, but I'm not mentally there yet. This week is still about us. I'm not worried about Minnesota yet. It's all about us.
For sure, and I think what part of that is you're dealing with some projections with Braxton coming back from injury. So you're like, all right, how close is he going to be to his normal self? You have some young players that are developing. You have a rookie moving over to different positions. So there's a lot of projection built into that. But I think as it came along, they all got better as we went. But we're going to have a lot of different options at really both left and right in our backup, swings. And really the versatility in that whole back end five, those guys can play multiple positions, which I think I don't know for sure, but we're up there in terms of how many different combinations we've rolled out there for the last 3 years. So you want to make sure you have insurance that guys can play and they can play multiple positions when you're, dressing eight guys for a game. So we should be in pretty good shape.
And Emma, do you take the fact that Ben Johnson was noncommittal about just sort of naming Braxton Jones the starter, do you take that just as he's only in this phase, still sort of this preseason phase, before getting into regular season starter mode? Or do you think there may still be a possibility they're looking externally for an opportunity somewhere else?
I took it as a bit of gamesmanship in a way and not wanting to name a starter. But also, to your point, yes, I think they're leaving the door open that there could be somebody else who enters that mix from the outside. Like, you heard the very pregnant pause from Ben Johnson about what he saw of that evaluation. And clearly nobody won this role. We heard, I think, a week or two ago even saying we want to see somebody really step up and prove that they're the guy. And nobody did that. Braxton Jones won this competition, in my mind, by default. I believe he's going to be the starter left tackle for that opener September 8th, but they're still leaving open the possibilities elsewhere, both externally and internally. And I think as you look later on in this season, if Ozzie Terpillo is making strides where they believe he's ready to take the field or however it may play out, Theo Benedict as well, I think they'd be willing to make that move. It certainly was not committal. It was not a ringing endorsement of Braxton Jones or anybody in this competition. And I don't think this battle was a success by any means. I think you saw somebody win the job by default rather than taking it by the horns and going with it.
Speaking of externally and internally, as the cicadas are tracking down Chris Emma there at Hallis Hall, the running back depth seems to be an issue right now. How do you feel about it, and how do the Bears feel about it?
Yeah, look, they ran a practice today for a little bit of time out there, about an hour and a half on the backfields, and DeAndre Swift is the only running back present. Everybody else was gone. Kyle Manungai, Roshon Johnson were part of this roster, were not present. It sounds like the hope is that they will be ready to go for next week in week one, but that was it. It was just DeAndre Swift leading the way for this backfield. It's not the way you want it to go. In one hand, that you're going to hear from Ben Johnson, Ryan Poles, the optimism they feel for DeAndre Swift having a bounce back year. But at the same point in time, they've got major depth concerns. So, I mean, I feel like I got the crowd noise here with these cicadas going. I'm tuned out here outside of Hallis Hall. My usual perch is where I've done these reports are closed off. There's a private event. So I'm sitting right outside the building here. I'm watching our buddy Dan Wiederer do Take the North from, like, a ledge by a bike rack. Our friend Courtney Cronin is preparing a live shot once I stop talking here. But look, there's a lot going on here today. So pardon the cicadas and the noise out here. Let's get to it. Here's Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles on the Bears running back mix.
He's got that ability to be a spark for us, and I've known that for years about the guy. I mean, he's particularly when we're a little bit stale coming out of the gate, he wants to be that guy to get us back on track. And I think that's what the good running backs do in this league, is their teammates will feed off of them. All it takes is for one big play. I mean, he had the hurdle on the sideline, and I thought that was a good thing to see. And so, explosive player, want to get the ball in his hands with some space as much as we possibly can. And I thought the cool thing you saw in that game was a couple short yardage opportunities, and he was willing to lower his shoulders and find a way to get the yard. So, happy with where he's at right now.
Where are Roshon and Manungai on their timelines? How much are you looking at the running back market?
Yeah, their timelines, I feel good about their timeline. Kyle's coming along. Like I said, over the next few days, you'll probably see the practice field look a little bit different. So I got a lot of faith those guys will be ready to go. And if they're not, we'll still look out and see if there's guys there that can help us. Like I said, with Ben's creativity, who knows who will be lined up back there. So,
Ryan, this offseason, we talked about DeAndre Swift, you know, needing to get the hole on time and kind of just be a little more precise with everything. How have you seen that come along this offseason? And just in general, this is a guy who may end up getting a lot of carries. Is he the kind of running back that benefits from something like that?
Yeah, I thought you could just go back to the last preseason game. I know he didn't play in the second one. I thought he was very decisive with getting downhill and getting positive gains. There wasn't as much dancing with, you know, negative rushes, which is going to be big for us to stay on par with the chains and stay with positive gains there. So I feel like there's been improvement, which is a lot of credit, you know, to EB. You don't have too much room to do too much other than the right thing with EB, so he's going to keep working with those guys to get better. And then in that room, I think Kyle's done some really good things too. I know he's got dinged up late with some soft tissue, but he should be fine, and his vision, his feel, the physicality that he runs with the ball, contact balance, should help us big time. And then you get two different styles back there, that you got to prepare for, which would be good.
All right, so wait, everyone just lay out. I just want to have the cicada sound for a few seconds. Perfect. We'll use that as our bear sounder when things go badly. Okay, so one more thing we need to discuss. Coast to coast, L.A. to Chicago, people are talking about Jahdae Walker and what he's doing. How did we get here with this guy, and how did he make – you damn right he is, Ant Heron. And how did we get here with him?
Look, there was this competition wide open for the bottom of the wide receiver depth chart, and obviously special teams plays such a key part of that. But in my projections, I had multiple guys in and out of that spot. And by Friday night, it was pretty clear it was going to be Jahdae Walker, and not just because of the performance he had against the Chiefs and winning that game in that final drive, but because of the days he stacked leading up to it. He was excellent throughout the course of training camp. There was some good competition. I thought Maurice Alexander had a case. J.P. Richardson chimed earlier. You heard from Ryan Poles talking about the difficulty of letting a guy like Tyler Scott go, who was a fourth-round pick a couple years ago. But Jahdae Walker earned it, and there's excitement in the building for a guy like that. Here's Rome Odunze on his new teammate.
All day, Jahdae. That's the man, man. He brings a lot of energy to the organization. You know, every single day he comes in and works tremendously hard, and, you know, he's got that chip on his shoulder. So, you know, he went out there and made plays, you know, obviously versus the Kansas City Chiefs, offense, you know, special teams, all those different things. So it's really an awesome story, you know, to be honest. Just I got to watch him play a little bit in A&M and all that. So, yeah, man, Jahdae's the best. He worked very hard to, you know, be on the team and, you know, continue to be in this league. So I'm looking forward to what he's going to surprise us with.
Really hard to know how much of this is real and how much is Tanny. I suppose the answer is probably just yes.
Emma, are there any nuggets and tidbits before you get out of Courtney Cronin's way?
A couple quick notes as we look ahead to tomorrow. The waiver claims are due by noon. Ryan Poles said they will be in the draft room tonight going through tape on players who are available both through waiver wires, through trade possibilities. He said they're going to be ordering food in, really doing it like they do for the draft process. So they're going to be active. They're sitting there with the number 10 spot in the claiming order. I would keep an eye on the running back market, both through waiver claims or even potentially trades. We talked about the tackle situation as well. Maybe if something pops up where a move makes sense, that's something you will look at there. So that's one to keep an eye on as we get into tomorrow.
Thank you, Chris Emma.
Take care.
Thanks, Emma.
He's killed all the cicadas.
Right. They have finally been hammered into submission.
I can't figure out what we should do with that sound, but I know we should do something with it. I know it should be indicative of something that happens on the show or in life. That is outstanding work. Right there.
Do you think could it potentially be used for meditation? Like, aren't there just some strange sounds that some people will be able to
utilize?
It does
feel like summer, right? Like, yeah. I think in the depths of winter, when things may be not going right for our winter teams in town, just play some of that. Play some gnat sound and cicadas and put people in a happy, warm place.
That would be, wouldn't that be kind of considered brown noise? Like, it's not white noise, but I think that's like brown noise. It falls into that category. But Tanny, I think you're right. I also think that it allows us, you know, when Speaks comes back, like, he doesn't know where it came from. We can mess with him a little bit next week with some of that stuff. And just caller drops, maybe that's
right. Or the opposed to crickets.
Right.
It's cicadas.
We go with cicadas. Guest with a pregnant pause. Like,
this is dangerous stuff because Tanny can play this in perpetuity. Like, that's just over and over and over and over again.
I don't do things like that.
Oh, yeah. That's you never do.
That's what I was hoping he would do with it. That's why I want everyone to lay out and do all that stuff. We missed out.
Coming up next on Brown Noise.
Exactly. More cicadas. When we come back on Spiegel and Holmes with Big Ant Aaron Heron sitting in, let's talk about Ben Johnson, because I think when he got drafted, we had a lot of fun talking about the stumble bum and all of that stuff. And Ben's been pretty consistent with, we'll get to that when we master the regular stuff first. Mm-hmm. But there's a little opening, and our friend Danny Parkins got him to open up about the concept of trick plays especially against his old team. We'll share what he said next here on the...
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low-impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's H-Y-D-R-O. OW.com. Code FIT.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. PNC's apply, in app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk 3 times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved, or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Score.
Spiegel and Holmes show flashback. Flashback.
What are your thoughts on the tush push? It's going to stick around. Group teams tried to overturn it. The vote did not pass.
Man, I tell you what, does it become an explosive play ever? Have you ever seen a tush push become an explosive play?
Does it become a first down or a touchdown?
Yeah, I like explosive play. I like big plays. So I'm not a big tush push guy myself.
Didn't we see a tush push against the Bears turn into a big run?
Did we?
Yeah, I feel like a couple of years ago, it might have been Patrick Mahomes that did it.
Oh, maybe.
But maybe. I remember it's like someone was setting up, and then it all of a sudden turned into like a 20-25 yard play off of.
I love Big Z's response. Just, you know, right there where Ben Johnson kind of hits him back with it. And Big's like, well, turn down the first down or a touchdown.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with those.
Yeah. While they're not technically explosive plays, I think that everyone would agree that those are both really good things to happen if that's the case. Yeah. Was it Dak? I think it was Dak.
Is that who it was?
I think it was Dak against the Bears where they set up for the tush push and then he was like 40 yards down the field.
Something about it sounds vaguely familiar, but yeah,
I think Alex's guy Tony Pollard went off that day.
That is Alex's guy. Mm. Now I gotta confirm this.
Was
while
it a fumble rooski or something?
No, I think it was just like something happened and all of a sudden he was out the back door like running down the field. So I would, if I can find that is the truth against the Bears, I will submit that to Ben Johnson, be like, here's an explosive play. Yeah, that came off the tush push.
Historically, you would think it's happened at some point in the professional world. Now, I know Iowa on some QB sneaks has had a few explosive QB sneaks, but that's college football. We're talking about the NFL right now. But, yeah.
Iowa doesn't have explosive plays, Anthony.
I mean, you know what the QB sneak, Alex Drew. You know what the QB sneak can
Six
look
yards
like
is an explosive play for them, so yes.
Well, by Hawkeye standards, yes. We got to grade that on a curve when Iowa's trying to gain yards on offense. But we'll see. They might have a passing attack this season. The way that Ben Johnson immediately answered that, though, where he's talking about it being an explosive play, I'm glad the league stepped in and made sure it was going to stay. And, you know, made sure might be a bit of an overstatement. But I was worried because in the end, you're hoping that just people on one side of the line of scrimmage can push the other people on the side of the line of scrimmage and somebody's going to gain an advantage there. So to outlaw an offense, an offensive line, a unit just being able to push folks around, that goes against all the principles of what football is supposed to be about. So I was really glad the NFL shot that down. It's first real visceral disagreement I think I'd had in the time Ben Johnson had been here with anything he'd said.
Yeah, me too on that. I'm a fan of that play, and if you don't like it, stop it. And if you can't stop it, that's on you. Mm-hmm. You know what? And there it is. I found it. It is back in week 8 of 2022. The score is Dallas 14, Bears 7. Tush push.
It wasn't that close at that point.
It was not. Tush push at the 42 turns into a 25-yard run for Dak Prescott.
Wow.
So that would be my evidence of it turning into an explosive play. I think that reaches the criteria of explosive play.
So the answer to Ben's question is yes.
Yes.
Has it ever turned into an explosive play? The answer is yes.
Yes, it happened to the franchise that you coach for. It was an explosive play. All right. Ben was on with Danny Parkins, who has a new role now over at Fox Sports 1, FS1, which is great. He's on the extra hour of First Things First, he and Greg Jennings, and they had Ben Johnson on, and they talked to him about the idea of maybe having a little something extra. You know how last year, while he was with Detroit, he had something extra for the Bears? Mm-hmm. This time, it's will you have a little something extra for Detroit?
Coach, the host of First Things First, Kevin Wilds, was a huge proponent of you getting the Bears job. But he's also a big Eagles guy, and he loves the tush push. And when you said that there's never been an explosive play out of the tush push, he turned on you. He turned fast. And so I'm curious, like, are we concerned Philly's on the schedule this year? Are they going to maybe do a big play out of the tush push? Is any sort of revenge for your comments?
No, listen, all I'm saying, it's just not my cup of tea, and that's fine. The Philly's got it. They can trademark that play, and that's all good. They can have that one. There's a couple of plays that I feel strongly about that I'd like to trademark for us. So that it's fine.
Do you have one that we haven't seen yet that you've got saved away for week 2 against your old team?
Maybe, but the play that I love last year was the laterals that we were doing. We did it 4 or 5 times, and they were all big plays. And then Buffalo comes in and practices against us, and in practice they did it and they scored a touchdown on us. I'm like, that's our darn play. I mean,
that is your play.
They're stealing it from us.
Imitation's the highest form of flattery.
So get ready for Darnell Wright, tackle eligible.
Oh yeah,
do a little Penei Sewell action because he's an athlete, right? Like he on the big athletic score test, he was out here with the wide receivers. So let's get Darnell involved.
I mean, one of the first, I think, one-on-ones that he did, or maybe it was from the combine, and Ben Johnson sat down with our friend Cassie Carlson, and he comped Darnell Wright with Penei Sewell and said that. So I don't know if he's picturing tackle eligible in the future of Darnell Wright, but it just goes to show he had some pretty high acclaim right off the bat for what he thought the Bears' young right tackle could become.
I guess he won't be giving the ball to Doug Kramer, though, because Doug was waived injured today.
No more mini fridge?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I guess it's theoretically he could be re-signed back if he gets healthy. But, yeah, I would say that's probably the end of the mini fridge.
Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe since Andrew Billings made the team, maybe Andrew Billings can be the new – the fridge. Maybe he won't be the mini fridge. Maybe he'll just be fridge. Fridge 2.0, something like that.
I do feel it was really weird. Like hearing the idea that he could get crunched off the roster seems strange to me.
I never understood kind of the thought process behind it. What would have been the benefit to the Bears to get rid of Andrew Billings? Are they really that deep at defensive tackle that they don't need another guy who's a proven quality defensive tackle?
I would also say that waiving him is silly. I would think that he might be able to fetch you a 6th or 7th round pick.
I mean, yeah, out of anybody, the thought of maybe they can trade Braxton Jones because Ozzie Tripello is so amazing back in minicamp. All right, what are you going to get for Braxton Jones, an injured left tackle who a lot of folks still aren't certain is a top-flight left tackle? Now, Andrew Billings, yeah, if you were going to try to unload him, you could get something in return. It wouldn't be a high draft pick, but I would imagine you could get something in return for Andrew Billings. But preferably, they're going to get what they've gotten the last couple of years when he's been healthy. You're going to get a quality interior defensive lineman, which the Bears can really use more of those. So those aren't the guys you want to unload. That goes to the point I was talking about earlier, where guys can be in a more advantageous slot on this roster for them, where you got Andrew Billings coming off the pine with energy as you get into the game, and he's a part of a rotation of guys. You don't need 50 snaps out of him, but he can just come out there and play with some energy and stuff the run, occasionally rush the quarterback. Yeah, man, that showcases a little bit more depth on the interior of this front.
Can we go back to the beginning of the show? I want to ask you a question, because okay. you were giving us chapter and verse on those cut down days and what it was like for you, like feeling that way the week and or so before. What happens immediately afterwards? Like when you get told you're cut, walk me through what then happens.
So the players all, for the most part, have representation. So their agent is immediately in communication with other ball clubs. You have to wait. When you're a younger player, you haven't gotten vested yet, you have to wait the 24-hour period to see if anyone puts any waiver claims in for you, meaning they want to add you to their active roster. Then if you clear waivers, there's a chance where you could either re-sign with the team who wants you, like the Bears have a number of guys who I know they would like to put on the practice squad, or if it's not going to be the Bears, then you can potentially pursue other opportunities for someone who would want to bring you in on the P squad. And, you know, back in my day, you know, 20-plus years ago, practice squad was 5 players.
Yep, now it's 16.
10 players, now it's 16 players. So you have the opportunity. And veterans, you know, during my career, it was just young guys. It was unvested players who were allowed to be on the practice squad. Then you got to the point now where you can have legit veterans, guys who've accomplished things in professional football, who you can now have them on the practice squad. And like you mentioned, 16 players possible. So the physically unable to perform list, there's a few different roster designations where, you know, you think of a guy who's banged up. Now they've added the ability to have someone designated for return off of IR, like we were referencing earlier with Travis Homer. And if that is one slot to go with, then you can also put someone on PUP, which would allow them to miss the first 4 weeks of the season and return. That, to me, is where a guy like Braxton Jones, I think if there were an opportunity for this O-line to be solidified without him, or if they had more of a stopgap available, but he had solidified himself as the guy who was, you know, definitively going to be their left tackle of the future, this would have been a good spot for Braxton Jones to maybe start the first month of the season on PUP, because it seems pretty obvious to me, and Ryan Poles has even admitted it multiple times, he's not physically back to his old self yet, but he's the Bears' best option at left tackle, and he was in a position where maybe he wasn't going to make the club in the tub. So he needed to at least get out there and compete and show that he can play quality football again. He's still in the process of proving that. But, yeah, initially, after if you're a young player and you get waived by a team, that first 24 hours, you're wondering, is someone else going to try to claim me? If they don't, then now sort of the world is your oyster and have the potential, because you're unrestricted at that point after that first 24 hours, to try to sign wherever you want to go.
All right, we need to take a break. When we come back, we need to share a story about your Yoda, Charles Haley, from our guy, Wani. That is next here on The Score.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Just to be clear, like, we love fun.
Afternoons on The Score.
You can't play football successfully with Sunday school teachers.
We heard some horror stories.
I'm going to tell you something, man. There's a lot of crazy people in this whole documentary. But Charles Haley is a special kind of crazy, you know what I mean? Let me give you a secret. Whatever came in my head, I did.
Okay. That Dallas documentary is out there. Sean Sears walked in here during the break and was like, hey, man, I'm through four episodes of this thing. It's awesome. I am going to watch it while I am on a couple days off later on this week to check it out. But apparently there are good stories about Charles Haley, and no one's a better storyteller about anything than our guy Dave Wanstead.
Yeah, I got a lot of stories. Boy, that was God, I forgot how it was. Catholics versus convicts at Dallas too. Can't get I couldn't get away from it, Dustin. I'm sorry.
This scenario, you were the Catholic.
You're the defensive coordinator. Charles Haley is the newly acquired defensive end.
Well, we had a meeting at the end of camp, me, Norv Turner, and Jimmy Johnson, and we were sitting around and we were having some drinks, and Jimmy was talking about, okay, what do we need to take the next step? And the conversation came up that we don't have a pass rusher. We don't have a dominant guy. That's when Charles Haley, they're going to cut him. So Jimmy gets the trade done for Charles, and we're all excited. Charles is in the first meeting. This is Tuesday, he would trade. Wednesday is the first meeting, and we're going to play Washington Sunday night ESPN football to start the NFL season. They had just won the Super Bowl. Okay, so just to tell you where this was as far as importance, and we're going to play in Texas Stadium. So Charles comes walking in the meeting, and he sits in the back, and we give him a notebook. And back then, I'm meeting with the whole defense, and I would write everything by hand on the board.
Yes.
Okay, none of this, you know, that's how it was.
No iPad stuff.
Yeah, so I'm writing in the game plan for Washington, and I hear this noise behind me, and I turn around, and he's sitting next to a guy named Chad Henning. Henning was an Air Force fighter pilot who was a starting defensive tackle for us. He did his time at the Air Force, played at the Air Force. One of the most organized, greatest, disciplined individuals on the team. Probably the most. And I turn around and I says, Charles, what are you doing? Let's go get your notebook open. We got this is important. He don't say a word. I turn around and 2 minutes later, I hear this yakking and turn around and he's goosing guys. And I says, and I go off. And I, Charles, that's not how we do stuff here on. Face, okay? The meeting's over. Everybody's leaving. I'm erasing the board, the whiteboard. All of a sudden, the door closes. I turn around. There's one guy standing there, Charles Haley. He gets up. Now, Charles Haley, I'm 6'4". He's bigger than I am. He's looking at me eye to eye, nose to nose, and he says, I want you to know something, Coach. I said, what's that, Charles? He says, if I didn't mature, I'd beat the living out of you right now. And I said, Charles, I am glad that you've matured. And I look at my watch. I said, we got to be on the field in 10 minutes. Come on, let's go. I open the door. Now, Jimmy, his first meeting, he made this trade for this guy that sucker punched the head coach of the 49ers.
That's right.
Jimmy's standing out there outside the door like a kid at Christmas. And Charles goes storming by him, doesn't say a word. And I come walking out and he says, how'd it go? I says, fantastic coach. And I kept walking. And it wasn't until after the season that I told Jimmy the story. I said, you know, he threatened to kick my ass the very first meeting.
Did you? Yeah. Holy cow.
He's the same guy that threw his helmet at Jerry Jones and it stuck in the wall of the locker room because he wanted them to, I mean, no. But let me tell you this. We played Washington that Sunday, and Charles Haley lined up and played. I used him in nickel. And we don't win a Super Bowl if it's not for Charles Haley.
That's a great story.
I mean,
he brought
something to that team that we didn't have.
Ant, you were coached by that man. Does it track?
Yes. And there have only been a few times where, and I'm not going to say it's the only one, but the closest I ever came to fighting a coach was Charles Haley, because Charles would do some wild stuff, man. He would call you out your name. He would disrespect you, and there was one particular morning where we went for workouts, and there were a couple of assistant coaches. And again, I was not some big deal on the Lions roster, but there were buttons that you could push. There were certain buttons you weren't going to push, and me and Charles had to be separated one morning where I was going to jump on old Charles Haley because he took things a little too far for me. So, yes, that all tracks.
Okay.
Then this hand sticks out. Hi, welcome to Dallas. I'm Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys.
I can't. You know what? Now I can't wait to watch this thing. It's going to be.
There's three different. There's Charlie, Chuck, and Charles. Charlie is the sensitive one. He's always crying. Charles is the sensible one, and then Chuck, he's that asshole.
That's a wrap. That is a wrap. What
all
a show!
All those things being said, man. I've said this to Charles over the years since then. There's no one who can speak defensive line play with more eloquence and detail than Charles Haley. He just happens to be a diagnosed maniac.
I was going to ask that because this guy was all world out there, and usually it's hard for those guys to be good coaches.
Yeah, for specific to the D-line position, in the room and on the field, teaching you techniques, tactics, fundamentals of D-line play, Charles was like no one else I'd ever been around. But to ask him to be a coach every day and be accountable, that was a different deal. He wasn't really capable of that.
Big Ant, we appreciate you so much. Thank you so much for heeding the call. We know that you got to get yourself ready because you're calling three different college football games this weekend. So we thank you for
on the road again.
Yes, you are going to be on the road all over the country this weekend. So we thank you. Big thanks to our guest today too. Nico Horner is just great. Use the rewind function on the Odyssey app to check it out. It is really, really good. And we had a lot of fun with Chris Emma and Jason Leisure as well. Tomorrow, Russ Dorsey is going to sit in with us on the show for Speaks, and we'll have Craig Counsell at 4:30. For Alex, for Tanny, for Big Ann Heron, I'm Lawrence Holmes saying thank you so much for the love and support. You show this show every single day. We will try to repay the favor tomorrow, 2 o'clock, here on Spiegel and Holmes on The Score.
Wow, this has just been such a pleasure. I'm such a lucky boy. I can't wait to go home.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
If you want more than headlines this Bears season, listen to the Take the North podcast. I'm Mark Rohde, joined by Dan Wiederer. We bring you honest, unfiltered Bears talk three times a week, and we're not afraid to be critical when it's deserved or certainly give credit when it is earned. With insider access and perspective that brings you inside the Bears locker room, Take the North is your home for Bears conversation that keeps it real. Listen to and follow Take the North wherever you get your pods.